You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Welcome to Radical Australian Community Radio 3CR, streaming live on 3cr.org.au. This program will be podcast courtesy of the magnificent Henrietta, who refuses to speak because she does not want to be identified with this show, but she felt sorry for me because nobody else would want to press the buttons. Now, in the studio, we have a sound engineer, a man who's unsound mind, but he's a sound engineer. He's come in with all the goodly gop to tell us about his music. He's got a computer. He's got this little fat football. He's got a book that he's written. G'day, Tony Millman. How are you?
Good afternoon, young man.
You're a bit too close to the microphone, mate.
Well, I can't hear myself. This microphone stinks of cigarettes.
Well, just what we need. Somebody who needs to hear themselves speak. Tony, I don't know why.
I can't hear myself in my headphones.
Now, Tony, we did speak to you a number of years ago when you were much more sensible.
Oh, yes.
So what brought you back?
I have no idea, although it may have something to do with a big hole in your programming and the need to fill it with someone that is mellifluous, erudite, and as charming as myself.
Why are you here? You don't fit any of those criteria, Tony.
Yes, but I'm going to pretend that I do.
Now, Tony, look, the main reason we've got you here is there is a 50th birthday party for 3CR on the 4th of July. And I may actually be able to get an invitation for you.
Thank you.
If you cross my palm with a bit of money.
How much?
Oh, 12 cents. Have you got a 2-cent coin?
Yes, in my shoe.
Yes. From 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and every listener is invited. Henrietta will be there and you'll be able to see who Henrietta is. Did you know we've got a table, Henrietta? No.
She really doesn't say a great deal, but her gestures speak volumes.
I know. Thank God there's no... Thank the gods there are no cameras in here. Tony, you didn't put any cameras in here, did you?
Yes, I'm covered in... I'm dripping with cameras. I am a walking surveillance centre.
Now, Tony, you think you're smart. You're not, okay? Now, let's be sensible for once. This is a sensible program, and I brought you on because you've been involved with 3CR for a number of years. Is that correct?
Yes, that is true.
When did it all start?
Approximately, maybe around 2014?
14, yeah.
Approximately.
Yeah, how did we get you into the studio in 2014?
Well, I think I came in, as many do, to answer the phones.
Yeah, well, you're unemployed, were you, at that stage?
Unemployed and homeless.
Homeless?
That's right.
Well, we allowed you to sleep on the couch as well as answer the phone.
I didn't sleep on the couch here, although I did sleep on the floor here occasionally.
Right, right. And don't tell management.
No, I won't.
Good.
And but through 3CR, met a lot of people who did offer their couches occasionally. I did do a bit of house sitting. And I did answer the phone a lot, and then... Do you know, I think I probably operated the panel here and there for a few different shows.
Really?
Including one or two of yours.
You look familiar. You look familiar.
This microphone really does stink of cigarettes.
Well, that's fine.
And?
Stale urine? No? Or just stale beer? I think it fell on the floor.
Yes, probably.
Yeah. Not that smoking is allowed here at 3CR. Maybe in 2014, but not these days.
Yes, that's how old this is.
We're all prim and proper here. Now, the other reason I brought you in is because you're one of those people that I particularly dislike. You're a musician, are you?
You don't like music.
Well, I always think that Cromwell and the Taliban were correct.
And what was their point of view regarding music?
It was the devil's work. So you do the devil's work, do you?
Yes, I do. I often present myself as the devil.
I don't think you're that good, mate.
No, probably not.
Who was the bloke?
Although.
Yeah. Who was the bloke in the 30s who did that famous song? There's a man going round taking names. I've forgotten his name. He was big in the blues scene. He has spent some time in jail for murder, and then he came out and he was doing a lot of
murder.
Yeah, blues.
I know a few names from back then. I don't know who had to do time for that crime.
Yeah.
But it sounds like a good song. Maybe I need to look that up.
Yeah, yeah. He used to think he was working for the devil.
Well, he was right.
Yeah, he was right. So how do you get a gig as a musician for working for the devil? Do you have to audition?
No. It's something that you gradually drift into.
So when did you start this music craze?
Well, I have always written songs, don't you know?
No, I don't know.
And probably to record and publish songs is, let's see, probably the first lot of those I did with my erstwhile friend, although someone I've not seen since COVID, is Michael Plater, who lives in England and Australia, and we put some songs together under a band name called Cornish Wreckers, and I managed to recruit and collaborate with a number of other singers and musicians in the western suburbs, and we put these recordings together and made them in a house in Sunshine, and we pressed it onto a vinyl LP, and we went away and played some shows in Europe. And
that was pre-COVID.
That would have been late 2019, October-ish. And then when we came home, we're on a bit of a roll and imagined that we'd return a few months later and do it all again, but we had to stay home.
The devil intervened.
The devil intervened.
But you wouldn't have started. Your musical career wouldn't have started. It would have started when you're young, wouldn't it? How old are you now?
Well, those sorts of activities from 2019 you might describe as a little bit like a career.
You're actually getting paid.
Minus getting paid.
Minus getting paid.
So is it really a career?
No.
And
what, you went to Europe and you didn't get paid?
Well, I think we broke even.
You broke even?
Yeah.
But I'd say you got paid then.
Well, yeah, in a manner of speaking, yeah.
If you broke even.
Yeah. It took a while to break even, but we broke even.
So when did all this start? What, as a little chappy or?
Probably as a kid, listened to the radio. Listening to radio stations.
What, you were radicalised by radio?
Yeah, I had a crystal radio set and I used to tune into the AM band using a piece of wire on the shower curtain rail.
Right.
And you could get to stations like 3CR and you could get stations like 3XY.
What year was that?
I don't know.
Must have been the early stages of 3CR because 76 was when it all began.
Yeah.
Because what year were you born?
65.
65? Oh, yeah, you would have been a little tacker then, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I was old enough to build a crystal radio set, which I got as a present from I don't know whom. And my grandmother's, my paternal grandmother, she had a big record collection of 78 RPMs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had this conversation before.
But that was years ago. Nobody,
thankfully, lost.
Nobody cares. Right? That's why I'm asking you again.
So I would play my grandma's and grandfather's 78 RPM radio record collection as a child as well. And that combined with radio and, of course, the TV show Countdown.
Countdown? Are you a Countdown baby?
Well, I used to watch it a lot. It used to come on Sunday, I think, Sunday evening.
Henrietta is nodding. She's actually boogieing.
That's not nodding. That's dancing. Wild dancing.
Wild dancing. In a seated position.
Yes, otherwise if you stand up, it's the devil's work.
That's cool.
To show your calves.
Yeah, it is. It is. I mean, thank God you got pants on, mate.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't see
your calves. I'm wearing wooden calves.
I can't see your ankles either.
Like Faust's.
Now, can I ask you a stupid question? Why have you got that stupid thing on your head?
What head?
Your head. There's a stupid thing with a bee in front. What's all that about?
Well, it was a hot day, and I went into some tattoo shop and on Johnson Street, and I said, look, I've got to sit outside for the next 2 hours. I forgot my hat. Have you got any hats? And that's what they gave me.
What? Were you being tattooed outside?
No, I wasn't getting any tattoos, not on that day, but that's where the cap comes from.
The tattoo shop.
Tattoo shop.
And what? And
got
what,
any more sun? Yeah. Sun smart related.
Yeah.
Questions.
What have you got that North Queensland shirt on? It's autumn. It's Melbourne.
Because you don't have to iron them.
What do you mean? It's polyester.
Well, they're 100% viscose.
Viscose.
They're self-ironing and self. Well, they dry very quickly.
You realise there's going to be a problem now with the Strait of Hormuz getting those shirts. The price is going to double. You can blame the Washington buffoon for your.
I blame the Salvation Army,
Salvation,
which is where I get all my Hawaiian shirts.
Is it? They got a box. They got a box for you.
Yeah, I bought a viscose, 100% viscose Hawaiian shirt there 2 days ago, and I left wearing it, and I had the T-shirt that I walked in wearing wrapped up around the coat hanger, and as I was leaving, the cashier said to me, is that coat hanger yours?
Oh!
And I said, yes, it is. And she said, are you sure? And I said, I am. Because they don't want to give up their coat hangers.
I can understand.
Yeah. But I take them anyway.
You take them. You're the type of bloke that steals from the Salvation Army.
I am.
Yeah.
How's that for radical action, Joe?
Well, yeah. So what type of music are you currently...
What are you doing tonight, Joe?
I'm stealing
a couch from the Salvation Army.
No, I'm just... I'm not sharing the couch with you. I'm having dinner at Frankston tonight. It's a worse fate than sharing a couch with you at the Salvation Army.
Well, I might have to take a nap once I break in.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, what's this piece of paper? What's this book you've brought in? What is all this?
Well, a lot of songwriters, a lot of musicians compose, and they do it on paper or some medium that comes to hand. And it's very difficult to keep track of compositions and songs you've written. And one day I was trying to recall something that I was convinced was a great work, and I don't know where, you know, it existed in my mind,
yes,
but in reality it was just something on a scrap paper. So I started to try to formalize all the work I'd done.
So all the work you've done is in this book?
Well, a lot of it. A lot of the songs that I've written since approximately 2019 are in three 350 pages of this typescript thing here.
This is professional shit, isn't it?
And I'd sort of stole or learnt this technique from a colleague of mine called Jane Cameron, who is very enthusiastic about keeping her songs on some kind of tablet or whatever. And I thought, yes, tablets, but these things become redundant quite quickly.
They do.
Whereas this is on paper, and it's probably a better long-term.
You got a copy, just in case you lose it on the train?
Well, this has cost me $30 to print, so I have to make sure my next iteration is thoroughly edited before I cough up another $30 at Officeworks. So no. There's only one copy, Joe.
So if you get mugged, if you get mugged on the way out because somebody likes one of the lyrics you're going to play,
they'll be taking my shirt before they take these songs.
Can I tell you a funny story about Hawaiian shirts?
Do go on.
I mean, I think it beats your story. I did a mural, Toscana for Mayor 2008. And guess what I wore through the whole campaign?
Hawaiian shirt. Hawaiian shirt. How did that campaign go, Joe?
Not well.
Do you think it was the shirt? Or?
No, I think it was the policies.
The politics.
It was the policies, you know.
What was your central platform?
My central platform was the Tanaminua Morbohina Monument, which we got.
What a magnificent achievement.
We did achieve that. But I also wanted to close down every road in Melbourne.
Yes.
Make it pedestrian friendly.
Yes.
We wanted to tax all the corporations. You know, all the stuff that people should vote for and they don't vote for.
So what happened was that the least outrageous proposition, which was the memorial, which is in fact probably what you were hoping to get through all
exactly.
along.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it took another 8 years, but we finally got there. Now, getting back, so what type of music are you currently doing?
Well, I bought some in.
Oh,
can I can play it for you if you'd like to hear it.
Well, we've got no options because we've got to fill in 56 minutes.
All right. Here's something I've been working on at the moment. Allow me to place this. We'll fade it in. Let's see. Now, Joe, here's a song about hope, which is one of your favourite motifs.
That's right. Hope is the love child of desire and expectation.
All right. Well, let's see if we can make this audible for our listeners. Shall we? I'll put on the external speaker. Stand by. Bit more level. You get zeros in. Can you hear it? Just turn it down. That's right.
No, no. I haven't heard any.
Thank you.
Now, Tony, haven't you learnt that in order to be a success, it's got to be 2 minutes and 50 seconds? When do you expect that to be commercially available?
Tomorrow.
Well, how many minutes was that?
Did you notice
no.
that it contains two references of two favourite motifs of yours, Joe?
Rabbits.
Hope and waiting for. You're often using those two phrases together.
Am I? Is this an ode to me? Oh, thank you, Tony.
Well,
that's gonna be a great hit. I can see it. I can see it. Yeah, Spotify is gonna take that up.
It could be construed.
Millions of hits.
Misconstrued.
Millions of hits. What do you reckon, Henrietta? She's shaking. Oh, she's put her thumb up. Well, have you given her drugs during that before?
I have offered medication.
Medication. But it's working. Now, Tony, look, I hate to be cruel, but you don't expect that to be a commercial success. You don't do this for commercial success, do you?
In fact, it's definitely directed in somewhere else.
Is it? Yeah. Is this anti-punk?
No, art is one thing and commerce is something altogether different.
You're kidding.
I don't know if you've noticed.
No, I haven't. I thought art was commerce. That's why people pay $9 million to have a banana taped on the wall.
Yes, that does sound like commerce, doesn't it?
I mean, look, if they're willing to pay $9 million...
Mind you, yeah. With the cost of oil, we could all be paying $9 million for a banana soon.
Could we? No. I actually bought a banana today.
Yeah, I ate a couple too.
No, I actually bought a banana tree.
Oh.
I'm going to plant it.
Do you know there's one that's grown in Tottenham and it's got bananas on it?
That's right.
It does okay this far south.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with climate change. It's good. The climate emergency is good.
It is more tropical now in Melbourne.
I was travelling this afternoon through the streets of Melbourne with an acquaintance. I don't have friends, you know that, Tony.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was.
Who can afford friends?
Yeah, and she was commenting about the autumn leaves, and I said, "Are you crazy? 30 years ago, at this time in autumn, which you know it's the last month of autumn in a few days, May, the streets would be full of autumn leaves, and now there's just a few red leaves on a tree. It's disgusting. It really
is. Sometimes the leaves die on deciduous trees in Melbourne, but they don't fall off like they used to.
Yeah,
is intriguing.
Remember the days when you used to roll on the
leaves?
Yeah. There were so many, you'd roll down the road.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. You do remember those days?
Well, yeah, I do. Yeah, well, but, absolutely.
And now you look at the trees and
great
you're quite
compost.
Right. They just sit there. The leaves, they don't even fall. And 3/4 of the trees are green.
It's a disgrace.
It's a disgrace, all right.
The London plane tree.
It's not
what it used to be.
I wonder if Bright has lost its appeal these days. People used to go to Bright to look at the autumn leaves.
The poplars, the rows and rows of poplars from Bright to Yarrawonga.
Maybe somebody can ring us on Talkback with Attitude tomorrow and tell us whether the because I'm thinking of going to Bright to look
this
at the autumn leaves.
This is just one big advertisement for all your shows, isn't it, Joe?
Exactly.
No.
Because we've got this thing at the minute on Talkback with Attitude. We've got the 50th birthday party coming up.
Yeah.
We need more than three people to turn up, all right? That's why we've got you here.
Will there be free food?
No.
Well, don't expect a big turnout. If it's just all mumbling.
There will be some.
And free beer?
No, there'll be no free beer.
Can I bring my own beer with me?
I don't know. You'll have to ask.
I'll have to drink it before I leave home.
Didn't you do that
I'll arrive.
This, didn't you do that before this interview?
I'll arrive drunk.
Come on. Answer this. Did you have a beer before you arrived?
Today?
Yeah.
No.
No, what's wrong with you?
No, I wasn't feeling well today. I had too much beer last night.
All right. I thought you'd have a beer just to dull your senses.
No, 5 minutes in a locked room with you, Joe, is enough.
Well, the door.
Bludgeoning of the senses that I require.
The door isn't locked, Tony. And I didn't notice on this Tony Millman songbook that you're wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Is this your trademark? Hawaiian shirt in Melbourne in autumn.
Yes. A friend of mine said, but I can wear shorts all through this winter. He's no longer alive. But I think that I could wear an Hawaiian shirt through a Melbourne winter and come out the other end very much alive.
As long as you wear long socks.
Yes.
Now, why haven't you got any shoes on?
Well, I just thought the look of a person without shoes would be an intriguing detail.
What's this thing? Do you want to be one of these poor, starving type of artists?
No, I often get on stage without shoes,
right?
So that I could hopefully one day just get electrocuted.
How about the sticky beer carpets? How do you deal with that?
Tell you what, there could be an interesting Lonely Planet guide to the sticky carpets of Melbourne.
Yeah, but you know, remember you introduced us to the Footscray Hotel.
Correct. And that has sticky ceilings.
Yeah, not carpet. The thing about the Footscray Hotel, the carpets are so threadbare. They're not sticky. Unlike other pubs around the
place.
They're
actually lacquered from years of spilt beer.
That's right. You can slip on them if you don't care.
It's like a urethane coating.
You been to the toilets?
Well, I usually go to the toilet at the Footscray Hotel when I'm there.
Yeah. I understand why.
And it's one of the few pissoirs with two entrances.
That's right. One for male, one for female.
One for lost dogs. That's three.
Three, that's right. Now, look, I'm interested.
Stop rifling through my pages.
Look, I'm rifling through your pages. I want to see if there's been any change.
Oh, yeah, it's a good question, yes.
Well, what's been occurring?
Well, have a look at the first page and compare it to the last page.
Yeah, well, there's nothing on the first page and there's a lot on the last page.
Yes.
So is there any change in the way you approach music? Because
no, I think I'm just getting worse.
You're getting worse.
No, there are some constants. A lot of the compositions I favour are strophic.
What does that mean?
There's, and preferably limited to two chords. In fact, that song I just played only really had two chords.
Why limited to two chords?
And they
chords?
Just go round and round and round and round and round like a...
What, you want to be an earwig?
Like a priest on a Sunday morning sending you off to sleep.
He didn't send me off to sleep. Wanted me to run away.
I don't know. It's...
Well, why two chords? I mean, you're a talented musician.
Well, you know, I've got stuff in there that's got, you know, a whole bunch of changes, but two chords is good because you can come up with a songbook, let's say 10 songs.
Right.
You can walk in a room with some people who can play music or sing and they don't need to learn anything. They can just go.
Right.
So you can go to a foreign city, you can walk in the room and you can pick up a band really with the people that are in the room. And there's no rehearsal required. And if they've got chops, it'll sound great.
Chops.
And the other thing is, the other form I like is a two-piece rock outfit with drums and guitar, because you don't have to teach the drummer chords. And the drummer can choose whatever rhythm they're in the mood to deliver. And all you have to do is drop chords on top of that. So those very limited, simple idioms translate well. And they're used a lot throughout history to make music easier to do as a group of people who may not speak the same language and may not know each other, may have never even heard and have no idea what they're about to play. But because it's so simple, it also gives room for flashy players to extemporize inside of and What other time an audience won't even realize they're just listening to something that is just two chords? It just depends on who's playing.
Or what they're drinking or smoking.
Well, that helps.
Two chords.
Two chords, don't change them.
It sounds like going to a major supermarket and doing self-service.
What does it sound?
I mean, two chords. I mean,
you and your bananas. I want to know where you're going to. How big is this banana plant?
It's only a metre tall at the minute. But getting back, no, look, it's interesting. A lot of people think
50 years to get.
Oh, who cares? I'll be dead then. You can. I'll leave it to you in my will.
Thank you.
All right. Now I'm really interested
that
in.
Sounds like a lot of trouble.
In the way you cobble together a song. Does it come to you in the middle of the night? Do you work at it, or how does it work?
Well, what I do is not what other people do.
That's why I'm asking you.
I usually play with a conceptual schema.
What's a conceptual schema?
You know, a complicated idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to make a few notes about it, and I keep it sketchy. And the longer you keep a song a sketch, the better. That's my attitude. Don't let it get fixed. And try not to be diaristic, try not to be specific, otherwise you get bored. You'll never be able to sing it two times. And that's it.
That's it.
Some of the simplest compositions take a long time to finesse. The genesis can be very quick. But to finesse it can take quite some time.
And how long do you think it's taken you to get to this level?
What level?
The level you've attained. I mean, this hasn't come.
Every day I work on composition.
Every day?
Every day I'm writing. Every day, which isn't writing in the normal sense of the word.
Mm.
But I'm doing it every day.
So you wake up and that's your job.
Drink a cup of coffee and watch the hot air balloons drift past the window on the 12th floor and spend a couple of hours probably developing either new material or reasonably new material.
Now, just in case people think you're a rich wanker, because you mentioned you're on the 12th floor.
I'm on the 12th floor.
But courtesy of the Victorian taxpayer?
That's right. Yeah. I live in the Fitzroy Estate, the public housing high rise there. Yeah,
because you really haven't enmeshed art and commerce, have you?
Because I'm 60 and homeless. That's why. Thank you to HAG, by the way, Housing for the Aged Action Group.
Right. So they were very useful?
They weren't just useful. They were dynamic. They made the what was impossible as an individual, myself, a process of being on a waiting list and following through a process. They made that happen, whereas I could not make that happen.
Right. So how long have you been, well, how shall I put it, homeless before you're actually able to enter the public system?
Well, probably about living precariously for about since about 2013 or 14, and strictly speaking, homeless, on and off for 10 years.
10 years, and how did you find yourself in that situation?
No job, no money.
No job, no money.
Mm.
Sounds like a good song. You got one? No job, no money.
No job, no money.
Two chords.
Hit the road, Jack.
I think it's been done before. Tony. Have you got anything else for us?
Sounds familiar.
You got something else for us?
Oh, what to listen to?
To play.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
for us
I do.
Yeah, for us to listen to.
Well, I know how impatient you are. There's either a song about Joan of Arc. Yeah. If she reappeared today, I'm certainly...
Oh, look, she'd be sedated and we'd section her and we'd put her in a psychiatric institution.
She'd be
homeless.
And
we do ECT.
So you can listen to that. I warn you, that goes for 7.5 minutes.
And what's the other one?
And the other one... the other one is called Walking on Water, and it is a song I did write for the Rent Collective down in Collins Street.
All right.
Which probably only goes for two and a half minutes.
Yeah, let's do that. Just out of
it. But that's a secular song.
Yeah, yeah. But you know the good. Remember the
it
good.
It sounds religious.
Yeah, but remember the good old days.
Mm.
You could have hallucinations,
mm.
and people used to think you were commuting with God.
Oh yes.
And you'd start your own religion. Look at Mr. Smith and the Mormons. There's plenty of these, you know.
Yes.
But people were commuting with God. They were writing it down, and they start their own religion. Now they've got billions of followers.
That's true.
These days.
Yes.
You start talking to yourself and you haven't got a mobile phone, you get sectioned. You put it on a court order. You get an injection every 3 months to calm down the hallucinations. What's happened to the world?
Well, there's only one thing worse.
What's that?
Than speaking to someone who is there but unverifiable to an independent third party, and that's speaking quite loudly to someone who is clearly not there. At the other end of a bloody mobile phone.
That's right. Remember the good old days? You'd walk down the street here, Smith Street in Collingwood, right?
Oh, yes.
In the 70s, before you were born, obviously.
I was born...
67 or
65,
something.
65.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't be walking down Smith Street as a 10-year-old.
No, I'd be in a pram. My parents, I lived in Collingwood when I was 1 year old in a flat.
Yeah, you'd be walking down Smith Street and there'd be people would be talking to themselves and sometimes you'd cross the street because it's not the type of person you want to interact with. Today... You walk down Smith Street,
yeah.
Every second person is talking to themselves. What's wrong with the world?
Are they all
psychotic?
Yes.
Right. Okay, let's have a listen to this song.
All right, enough with these interesting psychoanalysis. Let's see. Bear with us, folks.
Bear with us.
Hang on.
The sound engineer has stuffed it up.
I haven't stuffed it up at all.
Right.
I've merely made several mistakes.
Here we go.
Oh, I better turn it up.
Yeah, it helps, doesn't it?
Notice the artifacts.
Thank you.
That was 2.5 minutes. My name is Donald Putin.
Yes, I lied to you.
Yeah, as usual.
I lied to you through song.
Yes, yes. I'm going to ask you a few things. Do you regret taking this path in life?
Yes, I regret everything.
Well, you're not PF.
Almost everything.
You're not PF, but do you regret getting stuck into this, you know, music?
Sure, why
business?
Not? Yeah, it's a regrettable.
Have you got any qualifications apart from music?
Well, I do have a computer science degree.
A computer science degree,
summa cum laude.
What does that mean?
Well, that's for me to know, and you to find out.
Well, I'm not going to bother. So you may as well tell us now.
Yeah, well, I passed all my exams.
Right.
I won a few prizes.
Prizes? Oh, money?
No. Yes, actually, I did win money. Whatever the scholarships were.
What university? Or
Victoria
college?
University.
And you got one of the early. You would have got an early computer degree.
I don't know. It was in 2000, so I studied.
Very early.
I went.
Yeah.
I was a mature age student by the time I ended up there.
So what, you thought you were going to make your fortune? You're going to be another Elon Musk or something?
I just thought I was just tired of hustling, you know, for chump change and never making bank. And I thought I'd get a real normal job, a regular job with a regular, you know. So I went to work for IBM for a year.
Yeah.
And that was the same year, in fact. I remember going to work in Collins Street after graduating, and in the bookshops up and down the city streets was a new book for sale, which was a history of IBM's involvement in comptrolling and other computing work for the German Nazis during the Second World War, and IBM's part historically in helping to kill Jews.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, this doesn't look good. What kind of a company is this? And after about a year, I realized the company hadn't changed much, and I just, you know, I just got the hell out of there.
Mm. So you had a moral crisis.
Yeah, from day one. It was ugly. Oh. The culture was ugly. Mm. And yeah. In the public domain, international politics is a truly ugly spectacle and has never been this ugly. Well, not since the last atrocity.
Yes. Iraq, Afghanistan, Vietnam, Korea.
As atrocious, we are coming to realize our public functionaries are in terms of their personal behavior and in terms of their corruption and in terms of their ability to abuse the public trust. And that's what it was like working for that company. It was explicit And it was ugly then and it's ugly now.
Do you think?
Well, you know, it's once you get in a hierarchy, all you see at the top is a penchant for bloodletting.
Right.
And if it's real blood, all the more merry for those people who love to rise to the top.
Do you think anything in this book, your songbook, makes a difference as far as they're concerned? It may make a difference to you, but you think generally it does. Do people actually listen to artists who don't toe the commercial line?
No, it's nobody listens, but then again, a few people do. But that question is a stupid question.
Mm, why?
Because I have no interest in anyone's regard for the work that I do. I do consider it work, and I consider the work in the arts and the existence of that kind of cultural activity, whether it's private and minuscule and insignificant, is just as important as the greatest triumph on the greatest stage. Because as it turns out, that sometimes the greatest and most heroic things in our time, once the music changes, so do the laws of the state, which is to say what we think is heroic now is probably an atrocity tomorrow and vice versa. So it's also a deeply ingrained compulsion. So it's not, I'm not going to stop doing it if somebody comes up to me and says, you know, I've got proof that what you're doing is useless. I don't think it's useless. And I, you know,
It's not useless.
Not to say that you're stupid for asking that question.
No, but no, I'm happy to be
It is a
stupid.
Question that I ask myself.
Yeah.
And it isn't irrelevant. Mm. It's not a relevant thing to ask oneself.
Well, it isn't, because this is your life, right? It's encapsulated in this book. It's encapsulated in that computer. It's encapsulated in your mind. Look, this is who you are. This is what you are.
All my regrets are encapsulated.
That's right. It's best in
these.
It's
works.
Best to have them in capsule form once you decide to exit.
There's only one thing I don't regret, Joe.
What's that?
And that is my four sons.
Four sons.
Yeah, and it, so yeah, there's a
four sons.
A few songs about my sons, but.
Mm.
The rubbishy art aside, and a wasted life, and a life that has no value in our culture, at least I managed to have four sons, and that's enough.
It's interesting, isn't it? People say the most important thing in life, if you've got children, is to raise those children. But the reality is society doesn't value that. It doesn't. I mean, the state doesn't value that. Society pays lip service to the fact that I know personally that you've put a huge amount of energy into your four children. I don't want to go into the ins and outs of the situation you've found yourself in, but I know that you've put a huge amount of yourself into it. And people say, oh, the greatest thing in life is, you know, is to provide and do things for your kids. But the reality is, it isn't. Because today, the greatest thing in life is to make a buck. Is to exploit other people, you know. And there are many people there who are single parents, who are looking after children and living a hand-to-mouth existence every day. And getting up in the morning is a struggle, but we don't acknowledge them.
Yes, I would agree with those sentiments, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Have you got something to kind of put us in a false sense of security as far as your music is concerned?
No.
Well, have you got...
I only have sinister and foreboding works.
Now, Tony, I'd like you to thank you for coming in and hopefully...
Thank you for having me.
Now, but we've got time for one more song. We've got 4 minutes.
All right, well, why don't I just put on a song and then you can just turn it down when you're sick of it. How about that?
Well, we'll turn it down when we have to turn it down.
Pull the sliders down when it's...
Time is up. Well, look, what we'll say is, Tony Millman, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Hopefully you'll come to the 50th birthday party.
I look forward to that.
And are you going to bring anything, any guitars or just yourself?
Well, I think I'm just going to bring my appetite for drinking.
For life, for
drinking
life.
Drinking and carousing.
Yeah.
And try and have a good time.
And he does drink and carouse. I can vouch you for that.
I still have some energy left. All right. Here's a few minutes of menace. As Werner Herzog, the documentary and feature filmmaker, says, menace, menace, menace.
You.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.